So let me begin in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for this day and we thank you for this time. And Lord, I thank you for this very interesting topic that you gave me. And may all my words be exactly as you wanted me to present it. And I ask this now all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So welcome, guys. Welcome to the call. It's been a while since we've done this last. I think the last time we did it was back in June, and then we pretty much either were traveling for ministry or kind of took the summer off. So we had so much stuff going on that we're restarting now in the fall. What the Lord kind of laid on my heart this time, and I'm just going to call it financial cycles. And I want to open with two scriptures that you're all very familiar with. The first one is in Genesis 8:22, and it reads, "While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease." So that kind of speaks to the fact that we are in a world of cycles. And then the second scripture is a little bit longer. It's found in Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 through 8. And then that reads, "To everything there is a season and a time for every matter or purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace." So in that scripture, the one I want to focus on is kind of the second line, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. So now let's look at financial cycles. And this is something really kind of interesting that as I was dwelling on this, you know, the Lord led me in a certain path, and I want to share that with you. So when we as people, sometime in our life, find ourselves in a financial pinch, we usually are looking for a quicker, short cycle financial solution. And depending upon, you know, the beginning of that and how it may have been originally germinated, it may be a long cycle or a short cycle. So let me go back to the first verse that I referenced. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Now, when we read that verse, and I know maybe I'm speaking for myself, but maybe you guys think the same way I do. When we talk about seed time and harvest, we're generally in our mind's eye, we're thinking, well, you know, you plant in the spring, you harvest in the fall, you know, you go through the winter and then you repeat the cycle. And so when we talk about seed time and harvest, we think it's a shorter cycle. And when I say shorter, I'm talking about a 12-month cycle or maybe a 6 or 8 month cycle, like planting to harvest. But now I want to speak about longer financial cycles. So I think there's cycles that we operate in that are both long and short. And sometimes when we find ourselves in a financial pinch, it's something that maybe took place in a longer financial cycle in our life. And I want to focus on that for a minute. So I'm going to quote from a behavior, a book that I'm reading, and I think there's a lot of wisdom to it. So I'm just going to quote from that for a minute because we're going to talk about long financial cycles. So the term money, just a word alone, can conjure up limiting beliefs for people of all economic statuses. Money is something that we're programmed to feel a certain way about, usually from childhood. Most often, it's our parents who instill these beliefs in us. Sometimes it's culture, friends, society, or even social media. And then in this book, they make a statement which I thought was very, very curious. And I want to quote it to you. The statement is, money is a resource that is a result of helping others that you can use to continue to help others. Now, I had never heard anybody state it that way, and I was thinking about how he stated that in this book. Money is a resource that is the result of helping others. Now, there's a scripture that backs that up, and I'll get that to that in a minute. But in this book, they outlined behavioral beliefs, statements, and thoughts that we have all had about money that can rise up and actually work against us. So, and we've talked about this in the past, the words that come out of our mouth oftentimes plant seeds that we are, unaware of. Now, let me give you an example. And the example I'm going to use is somebody that was raised or grew up in a poor family where money was an issue. They would clearly be considered indigent or poor or below the poverty level. And you've all heard the stories about a young man or a young woman that grew up in that family. And because of that experience, they have actually made an inner vow, I'm never going to allow this to happen to me in my life. And so they make a deep inner vow at that point in time. Fast forward, they go on to be a millionaire. Now it works the other way also. And I'm going to read 21 statements about money. And some of these you may relate to, and some of them you may not. But as I read through this list, I can go back in my own life where I could pick out several of them and go, oh yeah, I've said that or I've thought that. So I'm just gonna read these 21 statements. The first one is, money is a source of evil in the world. The second is, having too much money can be a bad thing. The third one is, if I have money to spend, I might want to take up drugs or alcohol. The next is, I have to work to get a salary that is barely enough to sustain me. The next, money is only for paying bills. The next, having money means people will be out to get me. The next one is, I have to have money saved because I could get into an accident at any time. The next one is money is only for spending. The next one is I will never have as much money as I want. I will never save up enough money to go on vacation. Money sustains my survival, so I have to have it. You only live once, spend money today. You only live once, sacrifice today for a better tomorrow. Money is hard to get. only earn money if I work myself to the bone. If I want more money, this means I'm greedy. Money is not important at all. If I think about money, I'm neglecting my spiritual growth. I can get a lot of money just from sheer luck. I'm not good at managing money. I'm not destined to have a lot of money. Those are 21 statements that represent statements, beliefs, or inner vows that we may have stated, done, believe in sometime in our past. And in doing so, we have probably just initiated a long financial cycle. And when I say long, I'm talking not the typical planting season. I'm talking about something that would go on for maybe years or even a decade, where we held a certain financial belief about money growing up, kind of internalized that belief. And then what's happens is, as we internalize that belief, then those situations start coming at us based on our belief. We actually draw those. We draw those to us ourselves. So I want to quote another scripture. Matthew 13, verses 25 and 26. But while he was sleeping, the enemy came and sowed also darnel among the wheat and went on his way. So when the plant sprouted and formed grain, the darnel weeds appeared also. So think about this for a moment. In this scripture, the enemy comes and plants weeds in the field. So when we make statements or have beliefs about what money can or cannot do for us, and if it's in a kind of a tilted version of reality, the enemy may take advantage of that errant thought and come and plant weeds in this, the soil of our heart. And we may be yielding a crop that has weeds in it financially later on in life. And many people probably don't trace their current financial situation back to maybe their early childhood or even a little bit later. But I am suggesting, and this is the thought that that I heard from the Lord, was that sometimes we do things and we agree to things that don't produce the yield that the Lord intended for us to have. Now, we are supposed to be prosperous in this life. We are supposed to be prosperous to the degree that we can be a contributor, financial contributor to expanding the kingdom and helping others. And money and finances are just a means of exchange and a vehicle to allow that to happen. And if the enemy can trip us up and get us bogged down in this area, he can do like a really good job of holding us back, from our destiny, because we're going to be challenged financially, or we're not going to be able to do what we'd like to do in the kingdom. And the one of the best ways to slow somebody down in that regard is financially to let the air out of their balloon. And so I think what we oftentimes do, and what we kind of find ourselves stuck in, is a longer financial cycle. We scratch our head and we go, how come things aren't changing? I'm tithing, I'm doing everything the Bible tells me to do, yet my situation hasn't changed. And it may be It may be a function of some inner vows. It may be a function of some inner statements, and it may be a function of some inner beliefs that we hold true in our heart about money. And at the end of the day, what we believe in our heart and what we understand in our mind, those two things have to agree about money and finances, and that the Lord is for us. We are to prosper. We are to trust Him in prospering us. So, like, what's probably the next best step? And I can go back in my life, and I can go. I certainly, was the author of several of those statements. Either I said it, or I believed it, or I spoke it to others. And so, like, what's the best way now? If you're a farmer, what's the best way to get the weeds out of a field? Well, what they do is they spray it with a herbicide, which kills the weeds, right? So spiritually, the best thing that we can do is we can repent for, having those statements and beliefs attached to us, that we actually held on to those things, that we actually inadvertently nurtured some of those things in our life. And so we don't want those things in our life. We don't want any of those unbalanced beliefs about money in our life. We want them out. We want, the goodness of the Lord and the blessing of the Lord to settle in our heart, and know that we can trust Him implicitly for everything in our life, especially our finances. So I think that begins with like personal reflection. And asking the Lord to forgive us for the things that we've agreed to that weren't true, that weren't what He wanted for us. And in agreeing to those things inadvertently, we've kind of hitched our wagon to the wrong horse, and we kind of wonder why things don't work. So, the next verse that came to mind as I was looking at this, and this is, I go back to this one frequently. It's 2 Corinthians 10, 5 through 6. And it reads, inasmuch as we refute arguments, theories, and reasonings, and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ, being in readiness to punish every insubordinate for his disobedience, when your own submission and obedience are fully secured and complete. Now there's a lot of things going on in that run-on sentence, but if you take it apart, essentially, what it's saying is that we take every thought captive. Is this from the Lord? Is this from the Lord? And if it's not from the Lord, we take it captive and we dismiss it. And so I think that would be like a good exercise to run through. And even if this if you're not particularly burdened by long financial cycles that have kind of come back to bite you, it would not be a bad idea to go through the exercise also, and repent for any errant thinking that we've had, where we had trusted means and methods of this world more than we've trusted in the Lord. And so that kind of reminds me of another scripture, which is found in Jeremiah 17, 5 through 8. Now, this is an interesting scripture because it clearly lays out what we're to do now and for the days ahead. And I think this is really, really important, because in the days ahead, we're going to see some things fall apart and crack and break. And we need to know, where who is our substance, who is our resource? It's the Lord. So in Jeremiah 17, 5 through 8, it reads, "Thus says the Lord, cursed with great evil is a strong man who trusts in and relies on frail man, making weak human flesh his arm, and whose mind and heart turn aside from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub or a person naked and destitute in the desert, and he shall not see any good come. But he shall dwell in the parched places in the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land." The second part to this is reads this way: "Most blessed is the man who believes in, trusts in, and relies on the Lord, and whose hope and confidence the Lord is. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters that spreads out its roots by the river, and it shall not see and fear when heat comes, but its leaf shall be green. It shall not be anxious and full of care in the year of drought, nor shall it cease yielding fruit." Now, the operative part of being blessed in that verse are four concepts: believe in, trust in, rely on, and put your confidence in the Lord. Now, the first part is generally easy. We believe in. The following concepts are harder to put into play: trust in, rely on, and whose confidence is in the Lord. That means come whatever the circumstances are, I'm not going to be shaken by what I see and what I witness, because I'm relying on the Lord. I'm trusting on the Lord. The Lord is my confidence. Come what may, he's going to make a way. He's going to provide for me. He's my good father. I'm his child. And when we walk around and own that, then we cannot be affected by that which wants to try to trip us up. And the word says that we're going to always be yielding good fruit, even in times of drought. So I think, you know, between those verses, to me, it makes sense to just kind of like go back, like in my life, and go, okay, what, you know, where have I had some errant thoughts? Where have I attached to a belief or an understanding that is not biblical, that the enemy can use and, you know, take advantage and trip me up? And so I think it's good to go through that. Now, that kind of talks about the long financial cycle. Now, the short financial cycle that I'm more familiar with really focuses on lending to the poor. And the verse that supports that is Proverbs 19:17. "He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and that which he has given, he will repay him." And as I kind of go down through and recollect, you know, how we've addressed that, it seems to me that the return on, and I don't want to call it investment, I want, but the return is fairly immediate. And every time that, you know, like we have given out of our heart into a situation that would resemble the poor or something similar to that, it almost seems like the Lord was like very quick to respond in kind and support, you know, like us financially. And it's knowing that that's a principle, you know, I've kind of paid attention to that, and I can tell you that seems like it would qualify for a short financial cycle. So, you know, I think we have both long and short financial cycles in our life. You know, the Lord really has kind of had me focused on cycles, because I think, you know, as a nation, we're in a cycle right now. You know, our our whole government and our way of life seems to be like turning upside down. And there's people that study societies historically, and many of those people claim that we are now in a longer cycle, referred to by several people as the fourth turning. And that's a whole different topic for a whole different day. But what I want to say is that it would appear that there's some shaking coming. We know that's going to happen because Jesus said so. But we are to trust in him implicitly for like all of our needs. And one of the mistakes that I've made in the past was, Lord, I'm going to trust you for A, B, and C, but I'm going to take care of D, E, and F. And that's not the deal that the Lord's looking for with us. He wants like all of our eggs in his basket. He wants us to trust him so deeply that come what may, we're just going to go, hey, Dad, you said that you'd take care of me. You're up. And not to default to our nervous tendencies. And believe me, I was good at that. I was good at that for many years. I had, plan A, B, and C, all lined up. And when A didn't work, B and C were right behind it. And the Lord let me, function in that mode for a while until I kind of got sick of running into a brick wall and having things not work. And there's a peace in making it the Lord's, making our financial problems the Lord's problems. Now, we have to be good stewards. We have to do the smart thing. The Lord isn't asking us to check our brains at the door and not be good stewards of what he puts in his hands. He's definitely asking us to do that. But when we do that and we honor godly principles and trust the Lord, we're gonna be blessed. I think it's an immutable law of God. You will be blessed. So, does this make sense? I want to open it up to you guys if you have any questions, or maybe you have some personal situations that you want to chat about. So, do you guys have any questions?
This is Holly. I just want to say this really, really bears witness. And I feel like it's like everything else in the Lord. It's a journey that we are continually being trained and learning if we will be trainable, and that there's no limit to how much we can learn in this area. Like we come from a place where we maybe didn't trust as much, but as we grow, it gets easier and easier because we see the Lord come through.
Yes,
He's
yes.
faithful to his word. We see it again and again until it becomes like, hey, I don't have to carry this.
Yeah.
In fact, I refuse to carry this.
Yeah. Yeah. And I reflect back on some situations that I've been in financially, and where I would try to make things work. I would try really hard. And I would think about all the avenues that I had, and I put them into play. And sometimes they began to work, but eventually they never worked. And I feel like I had such a hard time grasping this that like today, I want to like go out to the back of the barn, pull the rope, and have the boot kick me in the butt because it's like, how come I didn't get this? Like a long time ago. And I think it's something that, the Lord leads us in this path. And as Holly said, the more we trust him, the more it's revealed to us. But I'll tell you what, I've learned that I've got to find out a way to go back to be like an 8-year-old and trust Daddy for my life, and get me out of the way. So yeah, it's a journey. It's a journey. It's never a destination. It's a journey. So.
Gary Cassie tells the parable of his son being at the breakfast table saying, "Pass the cereal, Dad." And he doesn't say please, and he doesn't say, "Do I need to wash dishes to earn the cereal?" He says, "Pass the cereal." And he said, "I always pass him the cereal. And I pass him the cereal because his last name is Cassie." In other words,
Yeah.
he has legal right to ask me for the cereal because he's my kid.
No, that's, and I, you know what? I think the Lord is anxious for us to get this because he's anxious to have financial agents expanding the kingdom and helping other people. And you know, I have a sense that, you know, his resources have already been lined up and provided for us. And if we can, and I'm speaking from experience, take ourselves out of the way and stop being, you know, the impediment to what the Lord wants to do with us and through us, it's amazing. It's just amazing. So anybody else?
Hi, Jim. This is Monica. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, great. I've had earphone issues. I would just ask that you or Holly maybe lead us in a prayer to renounce a lot of the things that you talked about that we probably, I'm sure I've said in the past that, things I've said or whatever beliefs growing up, maybe you could lead us in a prayer to renounce that and move forward. I feel like that would help me.
Okay, I'd be happy to, and so I can start, and Holly, if there's more, please, you know, join in. So if you guys would just repeat after me, Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask that you would please forgive me for the errant thoughts, words spoken, ideas about money, the means of exchange that we were supposed to correctly operate in. Lord, please forgive me for trusting in and being tied to the arm of flesh and not you. Lord, you are my source. You are my resource for everything that I need. Lord, erase from my mind and my heart those agreements, those thoughts, those spoken words which have planted seeds financially that are not bringing forth the yield that you had intended. Lord, I now commit my life 100% to you financially. You are my resource. You are my substance. You are my everything. May I lean on you, Lord, and not on my own means and methods or my own thinking. Lord, teach me your financial principles and how I can be a good steward of what you have put in my hand now and for the days ahead. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen.
Thank you.
So, Holly, did you have anything else that you wanted to add to that?
No, I thought that was great. And I don't know if this is for everyone, but for me, I feel like it there's this thing that I just feel like it is God sees it as He honors us. It's an honor when we're allowed to steward something for Him.
Yes.
It's an honor to be allowed to steward for His kingdom. And Joseph was given basically the keys of the whole kingdom. He was a steward that was found wise.
Yeah.
And he wasn't doing it for himself. He
Right.
was doing it for the sake of God's people. He was doing it for the sake of the kingdom. And because of him, Israel lived through that famine. They would not have made it. Israel would have been, that would have been the end of Israel. But
Yeah.
because of Joseph being a solid steward of God in a predicament, in a real situation where he was basically had basically been a slave, he was given this high honor and he did it well. And I feel like when God, when God gives us something, anything, it's a real privilege. It's an honor the way God looks at it. He's honoring you with the ability to steward something for His kingdom. And it's not really about the physical money. It's about you get to manage that portion of the kingdom. To me, the purpose of money is really about the kingdom. And so it's just I don't know if I'm saying it right, but to me it's a it's an honor and a blessing that we have.
I think that's a really good point, Holly, and I am kind of like burdened with the thought that when I leave this life and I stand before the Lord and he asks me, so what'd you do with what I put in your hand? And like how'd you love people and what did you do with now? I mean that's just like heavy on my heart. I want to be a really good steward of everything that the Lord's entrusted me. And to your point, Holly, I do believe that's an honor. I absolutely do believe that's an honor. Anybody else?
I just want to say thank you. This is such a gift that we have through this ministry. I just don't see it being taught many places. And it's like I've heard it said that it's like the least of the resources, and yet, it seems to be such a large magnified thing and problem in many people's lives. And so I just wanted to say how grateful I am for this.
Well, thanks, Kim. And for everybody on this call, I really believe the Lord is anxious to have us get this and anxious to really, demonstrate his goodness to us. And when we really get a hold of this thing, we're going to be so blown away that the goodness of the Lord that the actual preciousness about money and the means of exchange will diminish, because we'll be like just so overrun with the God of the universe that would pay so much attention to me that he would bless me so richly that it's like, how can I repay this? How can I repay him? Well, the way to repay him is to love others and just follow the word and live a life of gratitude. And I really have a sense that, the people, in this ministry, on this call, in this ministry, that are attached to the Spirit of God, I really believe the Lord is anxious. And I use that word, anxious, to show how strong he is and how he wants to demonstrate his love and his goodness. And I kind of go back to the verse of the 23rd Psalm, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I feel like goodness and mercy, the goodness and mercy of the Lord now, for everybody in this ministry, the Lord is, it's going to overrun us. But our part is to disconnect from the world and untether ourselves to the things that tend to bog us down and burden us. And part of that is, trusting in our means to provide, not the Lord's means. So anyway, well, I think we've probably covered it. So unless there's any other questions, guys, we can wrap this one up. So, any other questions? Well, let me close in prayer. So, Heavenly Father, Lord God Almighty, I thank you so much that you are so gracious, so loving, so kind, and you're so patient with us, Lord. As we kind of go down the road and we hit a dead end and back up, and Lord, I thank you that you are patient with me. I thank you, Lord, that you're patient with us, that you love us regardless, that your goodness and mercy has not ever subsided one bit, and yet, it's still there for the future. Lord, thank you for guiding us, for leading us, for showing us the way. We love you. We depend upon you, Lord. You are a resource. And we thank you, and we ask all these things in your son's name, Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jim.
Well, thank you, guys. And so have a good week, and I bless you. And I can't wait to hear some of the testimonies that are going to start flowing based on how the Lord snuck up and blessed you guys financially. So,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jim.
Amen. Thanks, Jim. Blessings
Amen.
on you guys.
See you guys.
Blessings back to everybody.
Thank you.